There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So you were saying that, of course, our friend Ray Stanford knew or was acquainted with many of the contactees of the 1950s, Chris O'Brien?
Well, yeah, many, if not most, of the ones that got all the visibility and notoriety.
Sure.
He felt that Van Tassel may have had events early on. Williamson may have had events early on. And Adamski may have had an event or two early on. But, he rattled off a whole list that he felt were just completely, dogpilers that were inventing things, like Daniel Fry, for instance, and Brother Boko and all that. The one contactee that he felt was legitimate was Truman Bethrum. He said, and he related an amazing story that confirmed Bethlehem's claim that a medallion was Ora Raines had a medallion made for him, which Ray ended up meeting the jeweler that made the medallion, and the jeweler happened years later to encounter Truman Bethrum in a conference or a public speaking arrangement, and not knowing where the medallion had ended up, this diminutive, strange looking woman, very very short in stature, had contracted him to. Or, paid him to make this medallion, and he had no idea who she was or, where the medallion ended up. And he saw Truman Bethrum at a speaking engagement, and he noticed his medallion around Bethrum's neck, and then realized that the little commander of the spaceship, Ora Raines, that he was talking about was the woman that had him make the medallion. So, there are some weird, interesting things. Truman Bethrum wrote an entire book of rhyming in rhyming couplets. As a love poem to Ora Raines. Now, how many contactees have written a book of poetry, written for their alien contact?
Now, I recall something, Chris. Wasn't there an issue with a divorce against Bethrum because of his supposed affair with this alien?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His wife couldn't handle it. it was way too weird for her. But Bethrum was just an aw shucks kind of country guy. He really never tried to really capitalize on it. He was almost forced to write a book, which I have a signed copy, by the way, Aboard a Flying Saucer. And if you read that book, it's very matter of fact. And he really didn't do anything beyond that except, address some groups and tell people about it. But he sort of disappeared off into history, into obscurity. He never really attempted to create a cult around himself like Williamson did, like Daniel Fry did, like Adamski did, and in a lesser way, Van Tassel. But, some of the elements of that case are very, very intriguing to me. And Ray assures me that if there was any of the contactees that may have been legit, the only one that he could think of was Truman Bethrum. And that comes from somebody that met and knew and spent time with all these people. He wasn't members of their cult, as has been suggested on the Paracast forum, but he was investigating them, and he actually debunked Daniel Fry. He debunked George Adamski, which led to Jim Moseley doing the real public debunking. So, this is a very nuanced field, especially back, as Micah coined it, in the golden age of ufology. People, were wet behind the ears and ready to believe anything. I think today in this modern age, so many people are cynical and just overloaded with the pop culture sort of entertainment aspect of this whole thing. And, I think Micah brought up a very good point about being involved in these projects. I turned down my own TV show with Canadian Discovery Channel because I just had no idea. I had no idea what they wanted to do. And when I found out, I realized I didn't want to be involved in a show that was exploiting innocent people.
The problem also with TV shows is quite often they don't know what they want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's a show about weird events that happen in a weird place to weird people. It's like, I'm sorry if that's your your one line abstract. I'm not interested in getting involved. I don't care how much money you're dangling in front of me. Forget it.
Well, that's why they have so many pitch meetings. Each one has to be 1 minute. It's kind of like having presidential debates with 10 candidates on stage, and they get, 10 minutes apiece?
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's publicly fund elections, number one, but we won't even get into that.
We tried that. You see where that went.
See why I like talking to you guys. Let me point something out, too, by the way, in relation to Ray Stanford's involvement with some of the contactees. Again, this idea of guilt by association is curious to me because, again, to use the term wet behind the ears, as you did, Chris, we look at that period and the way that people were, you know, eager to try and answer the questions that appeared to be resulting from UFO observations that were occurring in the post-World War II era. You know, some of these actually occurred, obviously, prior to World War II, but really, I mean, it became a public phenomenon there in the late 40s and into the 1950s. And so if there were people who claimed to be involved some way or in some way with the UFO phenomena, remembering, again, that really this kind of extraterrestrial meme that has been built onto this over the years is something that is, as I just said, it was built onto this over the years. At the outset, we didn't necessarily look at all this, although some people certainly did, and I think this was the influence of science fiction. But again, we didn't necessarily always look at UFOs and say, look, see, space visitors. That was one possibility, and of course, I guess the Project Sign estimate of the situation kind of helped with that a little bit. I think in relation to the Chiles and Whitted encounter, that their interpretation of the craft observed by the pilots seemed to be something that did not conform to known aviation technologies. There's a lot more that could be said about technologies that may exist on the periphery of known aviation technologies, but we'll save that for later. The point here is that there were determinations made that in likelihood pointed to an extraterrestrial origin of UFOs, but that didn't necessarily mean that these things were spacecraft. And so those who were examining the phenomena with a little bit less bias were just looking at it and saying, okay, well, if we can find individuals who may be able to help us find answers, what if this is some foreign technology? What if there are people who are in touch with those, you know, in control of these craft? And therefore, if that's the case, is there some sort of a counterintelligence program or something that may involve national security that should be taken into consideration? So my question would be, rather than just leaping to the guilt by association thing and say, oh, he was a member of the Adamski cult, I would argue if an investigator wanted answers, why wouldn't they involve themselves, at least to some extent, with those claiming to have direct communication and interactions with the phenomena?
Now, that raises one issue, too, with regard to Major Kehoe's organization, NICAP. He wouldn't get near that, and the reason is that there's a matter of public perceptions. If you get too close to the more extreme cases, the serious people you want to convince of UFO reality will look elsewhere.
That's a really good point, too, by the way, which, again, I think, you know, is still something that we see in the modern era. There are some very credible reports that maybe aren't afforded very serious treatment because people, unfortunately, worry about the stigmatization that occurs in relation to the phenomenon and the way that it's treated, which is, again, why I think that we don't necessarily need to throw everything out with the bathwater. But I think that, you know, fundamental breakdown of some of the terminology and some of the memes is necessary, which is why, and it really troubles me, I'm very careful about how I phrase what I do. I don't necessarily like the term ufologist, at least in relation to what I do. I like to say I'm a researcher of aerial phenomena, but when I meet people on the street and they find out what I really do, you know, in terms of books and things, they always come back with this, and you guys have probably heard this. Hey, I believe they're out there.
One of the things that is often used as a pejorative is to refer to somebody interested in UFOs as a extraterrestrial believer.
Yeah.
Oh, extraterrestrial believers are coming together at this UFO convention.
Right. And we're seeing the same thing in the conspiracy realm. Now it's you're a member of the black helicopter crowd, or you're a truther, or, you know, there's all these kind of implied sort of derogatory elements to some of these terms. And speaking about the term ufologist, I mean, I go ballistic when I see myself on a show where I'm talking about something that has nothing to do with ufology, and they call me a ufologist when I've asked them very directly, do not underline, call me a ufologist. Invariably, somebody in post-production didn't get the memo, and they go ahead and just put that term ufologist. To me, it's like a death knell for any sort of credibility or gravitas.
Yep.
I hate to say that, but I really feel that way. It's just, you believe in aliens. You're the guy that believes in aliens. It's like, wait a minute. How do you know we're not the aliens? And whatever we call aliens are more terrestrial than we are. That's my blanket response. And, of course, people scratch their heads and go, well, he's weird.
Yeah, you're weird because you're trying to say, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We don't know what this is.
You know, I have an announcement to make, and I will in our next segment. How about that?
Oh, boy.
All right.
I'm not sure if I'm ready for this.
Yes, you will be. Gene and Chris and Micah Hanks, maybe they're not ready. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's so lonely here. I can barely stand it. I'm waiting for you to stroke your keys and unload over at gcnlive.com/community. Oh, come on. I know you have things to share. And there's a whole place waiting for you to share them. Light some candles, pour yourself a drink, and get cozy. Log in at gcnlive.com/community. Lots of people are satisfied. Why not satisfy yourself at gcnlive.com/community? I'm waiting. Get out of the friend zone at delicious.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Last week on the Paracast, we featured Margie K. Okay? And she's connected with Missouri MUFON. Well, it got to be a pretty interesting discussion when we brought up the question to Margie K as to why they were featuring at a Missouri MUFON meeting he who shall not be named, the American representative for Billy Meyer Contacts. Well, as we are doing the show, which is on Thursday, August 6th, let me give you the preface here. After the episode, we acquainted Margie Kay with the evidence against Meyer. I sent her a link to this long Paracast forum thread where we had thousands of messages debunking Meyer.
Oh, incredible research on that, too, I might add.
It was amazing, and we have to thank, I'll name them, what the heck, David Biedney, Jeff Ritzman, really doing yeoman work to put all this together. We then looked up the UFO watchdog that Royce Myers ran. It's an inactive site now, but it has a very informative page about Billy Meyer. I sent that, plus links to the two episodes on which we had He Who Shall Not Be Named, sent them to Margie Kay and said, you really got to look at this. Now, remember, He Who Shall Not Be Named was supposed to appear the next weekend at Missouri MUFON, except that event has been canceled. Yay! And someone posted this in our forums. I just finished reviewing your information and links, as well as other evidence submitted to me by other people, and have come to the conclusion that this case must indeed be a hoax. Thank you for the information.
Made an impact. I love it.
The Paracast did it, folks. You'll have to say it. We did it because Chris and I acquainted her with the facts. Now, before this, she claimed that, this is interesting here, she claimed she remote viewed Billy Meyer to confirm the case was genuine. I'll leave it at that.
Well, hey, let me just say, I'm fascinated with remote viewing. I'm fascinated with the concept, the fact that there have been taxpayer dollars put behind this, and not just in the U.S., but also in other parts of the world, and the possibility, even as indicated by certain, I think, FRC investigations, that when the Milky Way is below the horizon, that as much as a 300% statistical increase, which, I mean, really put into context, who knows exactly how significant that is, but it sounds good.
Well, where did that come from? I've never heard that.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a document that was sent along to me by a friend who I can't name because, unfortunately, there are, you know, some people who, by virtue of where they work and who they work with, they have to protect their identities and whatnot. This is publicly available, and I wrote an article at Mysterious Universe that talked about this, but the document's available online that was just an examination of some of the CIA remote viewing projects. Chris, I'll send that to you, and I'll try and get it posted over there.
Yeah, I appreciate that because I've never heard anything like that. That some sort of stellar proximity has any sort of demonstrable effect on remote viewing accuracy, success rates, whatever.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I only bring that up to say that, you know, there may be some incredible instances where remote viewing and the like has been, if not demonstrated, at very least some very interesting correlative data has been suggested. But that said, I don't look at remote viewing as a good way to justify the claims of a purported UFO contactee.
And Billy Meyer, you know, may be an example of somebody that early on had legitimate experiences and that totally sent him off into idea land to go ahead and manufacture, you know, a way to attract followers to, you know, a system of belief that's derived by the contactee. And Meyer would be a classic textbook example of that, I think.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just being a skeptic, but, you know, I'll give the benefit of the doubt that, again, there may have been what we might call an entry experience, or a gateway, let's say a gateway experience, right, where someone experiences something, thinks they've seen something, it becomes a fascinating subject to them, they want to become immersed in the culture, and all of a sudden they start reproducing things that are suggestive of their continued encounters. Whereas, I mean, here's the thing, the analyses that determine that, well, there's an actual physical object in those pictures, yeah, you know what? A model dangling from a string can very well be a real object. And to say that the photos aren't hoaxed and that it's a real object doesn't prove their legitimacy to me. That's just my feeling.
And you have to marvel at the ingenuity of some of these hoaxers back in the pre-digital days, especially. Some of the kids are coming up with some pretty impressive stuff here in the digital age. I mean, I've seen some pretty cool, you know, CGI jobs, but of course they have none of the earmarks of a legitimate sighting, which can be easily shown and used, the formula can be used to expose practically any hoaxed photograph or videotape. Now, from the work of Ray Stanford and others, we do have some pretty, I think, really tried and true and tested litmus tests that these CGI and hoaxed Photoshopped type events can be exposed very easily. In fact, I've gotten to the point now where I can just take, 2 seconds and instantly know whether something is real or is hoax, just intuitively because of the amount of training and the insight that I've gotten into the process of how to actually identify these things. I'm not a professional analyst by any stretch, but I think I'm better than some of the professional analysts at this point. And I think most people have a sense of what rings true when they see some sort of an event. A classic example would be to watch Jaime Masson's presentation. I mean, he's up there for 90 minutes and is showing photograph after photograph, video clip after video clip. You know, my rough estimation is about 20% of what he showed was really compelling and deserving of more analysis and scientific scrutiny. And the rest of it was all just like fluff and fodder for the titillation of the crowd.
Yeah, and sadly, those who may be less up to speed on the literature, less up to speed on the idea of the way to spot various artifacts that are perhaps representative of digital rendering. I'm like you. I don't know, by the way, that I could take just 2 seconds, but I mean, the thing is I don't know what you meant by that when you say that, but I mean, I think...
Well, yeah, it just hits you. It hits you when you... Yeah. When I see something that's real, legitimate, I get an instant hit that it is. If I don't get that hit, then I have to sit there and kind of wait, and then invariably, 9 times out of 10, I would say, you know, my suspicion that there's something downwind to Denmark, holds true in my own estimation. Of course, I'm talking just about me.
Yeah, but, you know, I know exactly what you're saying, though, Chris, and that you, what you do is over time, if you try to educate yourself not in, okay, well, let's look for UFO videos. Instead, we say, let's look for the elements that may support this as being something that is a legitimate object and not just some digital rendering. You know, if you do study digital renderings, how they're created, the hallmarks of what people use to compose these kinds of hoax videos, you can begin to spot the telltale signs very easily. And if you don't know, this is what I always say, if you're not an expert, you know, although you spend a lot of time, years, in fact, doing this kind of thing, but for those who aren't experts who study, I always say, look, if you're serious about UFO research, try not to make that determination yourself. Find somebody who is
right.
Experienced. And by the way, Chris, I was going to say, too, that, you know, with problems concomitant with observing videos and photos these days with manipulation, this is something that I never hear people talk about very much, but I think it's really compelling. When we talk about UFO sightings, some of the most interesting data, it may not necessarily be anything that meets the criteria of physical proof that, you know, would satisfy a physical scientist. But when we have the police dispatch recordings, have we ever talked about this before, the police dispatch recordings?
You know, I don't think we have, but that's a really good point. I mean, just the emotion in the voices, I think, betrays the impact of a particular event on the actual initial investigating officer or witness or what have you.
Let's do the break, guys. We got more to come. We'll continue this, the impact of those first calls to the police department. With Gene and Chris and Micah Hanks, you're in
the Paracast.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowitz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet sleeves or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
What I specifically was talking about were the police dispatch recordings.
Okay, this is basically the police officers calling their base station.
Yeah, and at times also communicating back and forth via radio with one another. And you know, as you were describing, Chris, there, you know, that not only the emotion in their voice, but also I think what you get is, more importantly, a real-time running commentary on the objects as being observed by the police officers, being recorded as the object is being observed, rather than a retelling based on memory, which is...
Yeah, Rendlesham would be a great example of that.
Yeah. And, of course, some that come to mind for me, especially here in the States, have been, I think, was it January of 2001 in southern Illinois? The report
classic.
That large triangle object. We had not just one or two police officers. We had a number of police officers across different municipalities and different departments all reporting this. Recordings of the audio made yet again. And one of them managed, although it was a blurry photo with a polygraph or a Polaroid camera, the photograph nonetheless was produced, which does seem to show some sort of an object which meets the claims of those police officers involved who said that they'd observed this object. And that thing, I mean, that was just an eerie circumstance. They all described the same sort of a thing. It was just, again, a very classic, large, triangular-shaped UFO. What that actually was, who knows? Some have suggested these stealth blimps and the like that have been discussed, the possible DARPA projects. Who knows what these things are? But it seems to be that they are reported, and again, coming back, I always have to bring this up because it just illustrates how fundamentally biased many people are. Sir Stephen Hawking, one whom I truly do respect but often disagree with, for him to say that UFOs are insignificant and the reports are meaningless because why, if we were being visited, would they only show themselves to cranks and weirdos? Well, numerous police officers, you know, reporting back to dispatch, communicating with one another and taking photographs of an object that's traversing southern Illinois in the wee hours of the morning, that is not a bunch of cranks and weirdos, and that is further not proof of extraterrestrials. It's proof of some sort of a massive aircraft that numerous individuals and actually subsequent to that being widely reported as a result of television programs that documented the police officers and their encounters and observations. There were other individuals, one man specifically who had been driving along and observed the same craft, and he was not with the police department. So there were additional witnesses and probably many more who didn't ever come forward. But the point is that those dispatch recordings are interesting because they give a real-time commentary from the officers, often who are armed at very least with binoculars, sometimes with cameras. And what's more interesting to me is the fact that in some instances, this happened with Stephenville, by the way, there were police officers who observed the aircraft, same sort of thing, large triangles over Stephenville. A friend of mine was contacted by one of the police officers who supplied photographs, and I actually have a copy of the photo with this triangle and two orange orbs of light rising up toward it, which, if you recall, during the Belgian Triangle wave of the 1990s, it was often discussed that there were independent orange orbs of light that would move independently from the craft and sometimes ascend and rejoin a larger triangular-shaped object. You know, there's a certain consistency between the descriptions of these craft, and yet again, we had police officers responding, some of them even taking photographs, and the police officer in that instance said that it wasn't in his he wasn't in a position to be able to share it. But then in addition to the photographs that were taken of the craft that night, that there was dash cam footage that was being withheld by the police department with which he worked. Don't you wish you could get access to something like that? And sadly, I don't know the name of that police officer. And hence, again, people would say, well, then that is absolutely useless information. But I guess that the broader point is that there are people who are not cranks and weirdos, sometimes who are capable of producing photographic evidence and also audio recordings of these craft. And in many of the instances where this has happened, they are the triangle-shaped aircraft that are being observed by these law enforcement officers. So that's kind of interesting to me. And again, people don't often bring that to the table as good evidence, but you can get on YouTube and listen to these dispatch recordings all day and twice on Sunday. So it's pretty interesting.
Well, the one thing about it is when you know what they really say. As we're seeing, by the way, when you have dash cam pictures of certain kinds of unfortunate encounters between citizens and police that don't work out well, when you hear the original version of what they say and then you see the dash cam video, you hear the audio, suddenly it's a totally different story. You can't put that kind of spin on it anymore unless you edit the video or the audio.
Absolutely, which is, again, maybe with, you know, applying a little hope to this, if in the future there are more instances, and I believe that there have probably been some that have not been made public for purposes of, just like with Donald Kehoe, distancing himself from certain things so as to try and present a more credible air with the discussion of the UFO subject. I'm sure that there are police departments that we have numerous officers who respond. They see an object. They may even film something, but because of the controversy surrounding the subject, I think there are a lot of reasons, not necessarily involving, well, they're going to think we're crazy if we say we saw a UFO. I think sometimes the officers may be of a mind to think that what they've seen is a military craft and that really it's going to be a imposition on national security if they talk about this. And so I don't know what the specific chain of command or the if there are ordinances or anything that are actually presented to law enforcement, it would be an interesting thing to try and ask about in terms of if police officers respond and see a craft that may be some experimental U.S. aircraft or something of that nature, that they are to follow a certain protocol and this isn't to be made public. I don't know if that exists, but if that were the case, I could understand why there are incidents that are not reported.
Well, here's that kind of dovetails into, this segment. The show is really going by quickly, and we've only got a couple, 3 minutes here before we have to go to break. But how about these mystery booms that seem to ebb and flow through the last few years, where you have a wave of reports of mystery booms and even some recordings? You mentioned on the forum that you've really been doing some digging into this, and especially into the scientific, aspect of this. And, you've even got a website up here, mysterybooms.com, that has some of the results of your investigation. What can you tell us about this? I mean, this is something that I personally have not heard, but I do trust that there is something to this particular phenomenon, and there's something kind of strange going on. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, and I'll try and be brief because I know there's an awful lot to try and cover, and you're right, the time's just flying by. I had become interested in the reports of booms during the last two winters in which we had numerous reports of booms. I mean, just report after report, every day in the news. I created Google News filters so that I could actually track the reports and found that there were other people doing the same sort of thing and using Google Maps and satellite in order to track and mark locations where these booms occur, which helps you spot a lot of trends. You'll, for instance, notice that around the Northeast and also particularly around the Great Lakes, that there are a lot of booms. And hence the popular explanation for a lot of these was cryoseisms or frost quakes. But I became very interested, especially in reports that were occurring in the central part of the United States and also specifically around parts of California that occur throughout the year, even in the warmer weather months. Some of them tend to peak during the hottest months. And hence, what you'll tend to find is that people will gravitate toward an explanation, and then they'll say that this virtually explains all of the reports. And I felt that, again, many of the more skeptical commentators were getting a little ahead of themselves with offering these explanations, and so I decided to try and look at there being possible causes that may underlie not all of the reports in terms of a single explanation, but whether there might be a variety of things that can constitute a loud boom or similar anomalous noise in nature. And what we find, of course, is that you go back, the Federation of American Scientists in the 1970s said that there were sonic booms from the Concorde jet, when in fact the boom reports actually well precede modern aviation. They date back hundreds of years. They've been reported all over the world. In Greenland, there have been the Tondøvdrabi, the Seneca guns in New York. You know, we've got the a similar kind of a booming sand phenomena on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. They call them yen in Japan. There are different names in other parts of the world. Mist poofers, I think, is also a European term for it, so which means roughly fog belches. And so, obviously, I felt that there's a natural explanation for a lot of these. And if we may be coming up on a break. Are we coming up tight on one?
I'll tell you what, let's do that. Let's just tell our listeners that they can check out our other radio show after the PowerCast and the ad-free version of this show by going to plus.thepowercast.com. That's plus.thepowercast.com. We've got new ways to make it easier to find your favorite episodes. And we'll tell you how when you go there. We also have a copy of the ebook version of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters to give away for those who subscribe for 1 year or 5 years. It's a great value. It's the PowerCast Plus. Go to plus.thepowercast.com for more. As Micah Hanks suggested, it's time to do our break with Gene and Chris. You're in Boom.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite hosts and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio, now at your fingertips.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Extend your life with ExtendoBite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoBite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoBite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoBite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoBite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoBite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoBite.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're lowering the boom, folks, on this segment of the Paracast with lots more to talk about with Micah Hanks and talking about mystery booms, mystery sounds. Now, other than Superman breaking the sound barrier, which I think they sort of tried to do in Man of Steel, the latest Superman reboot from a couple of years ago. All right. Is there a paranormal connection anywhere that can be found with this, Micah Hanks?
Well, I'll tell you this. I didn't go into it trying to look for a paranormal explanation. Obviously, I go into it as I feel any good researcher would do. And I rather than trying to just become a skeptical debunker, because you guys know I consider myself fundamentally skeptical. But I do think that there are instances where modern debunkers, by virtue of the ideology, it's important to debunk if it needs to be done. You guys did that and helped, you know, the outcome of an upcoming MUFON meeting by virtue of doing that. So it serves an important purpose. But when we get into an attitude where we think that everything that is seemingly anomalous can be explained by virtue of debunking, that's where we start encountering problems. And what I found with the Mystery Booms reports is that a number of commentators would offer simple explanations, usually geophysical in nature or seismic, you know, phenomena. This, although a plausible solution to a number, maybe even the majority of the reports, such as the cryosasms that occur in the winter months, and I'll talk about more what that is here in a moment, but again, that doesn't explain all of the reports. And so what my determination is that there are a variety of causes and conditions that are conducive to the mystery booms as they're reported in a broader sense. A cryosasm, again, is when you have groundwater that becomes saturated usually prior to the first freeze of the year, and often before snow occurs, because once you've had a nice snowfall, it actually helps insulate the ground somewhat. And so if prior to a snowfall you have a good rain that happens, the ground becomes saturated, and then a deep freeze occurs after the fact, it can actually cause an explosive expansion that can emanate in a thunderous crack when the earth actually splits in conjunction with that freezing happening. You can feel this sometimes. It can actually often doesn't register in terms of seismic activity, which is kind of misleading to people, because many times they think that they're experiencing something that's seismic, something like an earthquake, and yet they'll contact the geology department at any university nearby and whatnot, and they'll say, well, you know, it doesn't appear to be anything seismic. We're not seeing something that's indicative of an earthquake. Often the tremors that result are very localized, and hence they aren't something that's going to necessarily appear to be seismic in nature. So what really got to be interesting to me was that in the warmer weather months, why there are similar reports of booms occurring just as well. And I've heard people talk about almost constant booms reported in parts of California. And around the area of Mother Lode, there was a recent report where scientists had been pursuing the cause of some of these booms. Many had suggested, and it's often the case that people look at munitions, or they go to a military, military installations that are perhaps detonating surplus explosives and things like this, or just working out any kind of operation that involves controlled blasts. Sometimes they're experimental in nature just as well. The cause of the Mother Lode booms, they didn't think in any way this had anything to do with a military test site that was well over 100 miles away from where people were hearing these booms. And furthermore, those personnel at the base in question had, in a recent interview, said that, my office, I think the commander of the base in question, had said, my base, my office is 20 miles from the blast site, and I very, very seldom ever hear these things. So what's interesting is I dug up this report that was titled Refraction of Sound in the Atmosphere, written by Thomas B. Gabrielson from the Applied Research Laboratory at the Penn State University. He dug up some rather interesting descriptions of reports dating back, centuries. And in fact, one that was really, really interesting went back to probably the 18. This was reported during the American Civil War, but a paper published in 1874 actually made note of the instance. It was featured a letter from R.G.H. Keene, who had watched the Battle of Gaines Mill during the American Civil War. This is what was mentioned in the report from 1874. Based on Keene's observation, he said, I distinctly saw the musket fire of both lines. I saw batteries of artillery on both sides come into action and fire rapidly, yet looking for near 2 hours from about 5 to 7 p.m. on a midsummer afternoon at a battle in which at least 50,000 men were actually engaged and doubtless at least 100 pieces of field artillery. He said, not a single sound of the battle was audible to General Randolph and myself. However, the cannonade of that very battle was distinctly heard at Amherst Courthouse 100 miles west of Richmond, as I've been most credibly informed. And so people were trying to figure out, why would people standing 20 miles away from a battle and within sight say that they didn't hear anything, and yet 100 miles away people were talking about, whoa, we could really hear this happening. It's very similar to what was occurring around Mother Lode that scientists have recently determined is as a result of refraction of sound off the atmosphere, which can actually cause the loud booming noises of explosions occurring more than 100 miles away to become more prevalent a distance further away from the blast site itself. Now, what's also interesting about some of these booms is that the California Institute of Technology did an investigation in the 1990s with regard to some of the a wave of booms reported in the early 90s, between 1991 and 1993 specifically. And what they found was that the seismic signatures of the sounds seemed to be consistent with sonic booms produced by aircraft. Now, what's interesting is Gogs McKay, our good friend over on the forums, had asked me, do you think that there's any indication that some of these booms could be sonic in nature and possibly from aircraft that aren't on the books? In other words, experimental aircraft. What's interesting about the Caltech paper, and I've got this linked in an article over at Mystery Booms, the researchers from Caltech said, yes, absolutely, based on the data and based on the actual waveforms, our determination is that without question, these are sonic booms from aircraft. However, none of the booms were able to be correlated with any known Air Force activity occurring over land or offshore, which would have been more likely in this instance, in conjunction with the times of the booms being reported. So they said that while we're sure they're sonic booms, we can't correlate them with any known Air Force or military operations. So that begs the question, if they were correct in their surmisal that we're talking about booms, what were the aircraft that were producing them? So I think that there is at least some precedent for the notion that there are aircraft in operation that are traveling supersonically, but which maybe are involved in operations that are not being communicated to the public. In other words, possibly black ops, possibly secret military operations, anything along those lines. That seemed to be what I took from that paper that the Caltech researchers wrote. So in my opinion, there are a number of things ranging from sonic booms and also, of course, the refraction of sound in the atmosphere. And yes, at times, sometimes geological or geophysical phenomena, seismic phenomena that can account for the varieties of different booms that are reported. But we've got to be very careful that we don't leap to conclusions when we're trying to explain these things, because often people in their, as well-intended, but often with their skeptical kind of exuberance, they want to just offer an explanation and say this is anything but UFOs. By definition, we might say that there could be some mystery aircraft associated with some of the boom reports, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're flying saucers causing them. So that's the closest I think I come to something anomalous. I don't think it's paranormal, but those are my determinations, and you can read more at mysterybooms.com.
What about these trumpet sounds? Another interesting sort of correlation to the mystery booms are what people describe as like loud, sort of brassy trumpet sounds. I think more rare, but I've heard recordings of some of them, and I can't figure out what it is. Maybe Gabriel blowing his horn or something. Have you looked into this particular aspect?
I certainly have, and I've found it very interesting the way that a lot of the tabloids preach a kind of gloom and doom, doomsday kind of end of the world prophecy sort of thing in conjunction with a lot of this. And I think a lot of people do interpret strange phenomena that they perceive in nature as being something maybe eschatological or representative of the end times. Let's not forget, however, that when they initially observed the object hovering over the Texas highway, that Betty Cash and Vicki Landrum said they thought that it was the end of the world, right? Many times you see people in Fortiana and in, you know, representations of mystery objects or sounds or anything like that, that if it's something so seemingly implausible that they equate it with being something religious or even possibly with the end of the world. So that's not uncommon. But what I will point out is that in some of the reports in Canada that involve these noises, there'd been reports for a couple of years, and in fact, it was the same woman a couple of years apart who had been reporting and recording with her smartphone these strange noises. A subsequent video uploaded on YouTube, of all places, that someone sent to me showed that in conjunction with the noises, just over the hill in this little municipality, there indeed was a large parking lot that was being graded. Quite clearly, you can see the guy goes down to the tree line and films the grader with its metal blade dragging against the cement of the parking lot, and you can see this is clearly what's creating the noise, which is funny because we do know that trains can cause the same noise. If a train in a train yard with its brakes engaged is moving, you can actually see that, and there are videos online that show this. They show that the noise, a very similar noise, can be produced as a result of the metal scraping. And my friend Sharon Hill of Doubtful News had come to the Mystery Booms website when I wrote an article about this that linked to the video showing the grader, and she said, I don't know why this came up and why people are talking about this again. We already determined it was a train. And I said, hey, you know, and I'd been reading an article that she'd written about that just earlier that day, and I said, you're absolutely right, trains do make that noise, but the official explanation that the city had given in this instance was that it was the metal blades of the graders. So that was consistent with what appears in the video and with what the city officials had said. And again, in fairness, I just wanted to point out that Sharon wasn't wrong that noise can be produced by a train, but in this instance, we don't want to jump to that conclusion that, well, if this can make the noise, that's what the noise is.
Let's do our break here. We'll search for the booms a little bit more in our next segment with Micah Hanks and Gina and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.